This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Now from Times Square, here's what you need to know.
Let's talk to America's favorite doctor. Apparently there's a tuberculosis outbreak in Long Beach, California. Now there's a public health emergency in place. But the question is, what's the latest there, and are cases on the rise across the country?
Well, this is a medical headline that's getting a lot of attention, and with good reason. You know, we're not familiar with hearing about tuberculosis in this country, but it is something we need to pay attention to. So let me take you through it. The latest here, this is, first of all, a serious bacterial illness that typically affects the lungs. It is transmitted person to person via airborne droplets. Generally, that's with close, prolonged contact. Symptoms range from cough, chest pain, fever, weakness, sometimes coughing up blood, sometimes weight loss, depending on what the person's immune status is and how advanced the tuberculosis infection is. Big picture here, last year we've been following cases tracking up 16%. Up from 2022, we saw a huge rise in tuberculosis, not just here in this country, but around the world during the pandemic, because screening went down and crowded environments went up.
So how can someone prevent from getting this? Is there something you can do if you get it to be treated?
The easier answer is the latter. There is effective treatment. It's usually prolonged antibiotics by prolonged 6 months, usually a combination of antibiotics. You can test for it with a skin test, a blood test, a chest x-ray, a sputum sample. Prevention is generally ventilation. There is a vaccine, but often in this country, we don't give it unless someone's at high risk. So we're going to be following this headline out in California and around the country.
All right, Doc, thank you.
You bet.
We turn now to ABC's Em Nguyen in Washington with our latest headlines. Good afternoon to you, Em.
Good afternoon, Eva. Great to see you here on this Monday. And we begin with the devastating flooding in the South. 2 feet of water in a matter of days. Here's our Ginger Z.
I'm here in Oklahoma City because we anticipate the highest risk of severe weather, especially tornadoes. Multiple long-track intense tornadoes that you really need to be underground to survive. This is a personal shelter. It's not big, but it does the job. It can keep you safe in these types of tornadoes. They could be on the ground for a long time. They spin over these areas and just can wreck everything in their path. And so we're going to be anticipating that right in central Oklahoma, including Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Wichita, all the way through Fort Sill. But even into parts of Arkansas, you see where that kind of extends east. We'll be watching this threat, and it doesn't stop for the rest of the week. Very active week ahead.
Thank you, Ginger. And it's back to court in New York for former President Donald Trump. Testimony resumes today from one of his closest aides, Hope Hicks. He's charged with falsifying business records in connection with a payment to adult film star Stormy Daniels. The jury will get a look at the ledger that characterized it as a legal expense, which prosecutors say was a way of concealing it from voters. The judge finding him in contempt again today for another gag order violation and warning of possible jail time. Trump has denied all wrongdoing. College commencement season getting underway across the country in the shadow of continuing protests over the war in Gaza. Word now that Columbia University is canceling its school-wide graduation plans. At the University of Michigan this weekend, dozens of students disrupting ceremonies, waving Palestinian flags as a banner in support of Israel flew overhead. Schools nationwide working hard to restore a sense of normalcy. And a church in Pennsylvania reeling after the service came to a halt when a stranger with a gun pointed the weapon at the pastor. The pastor ducking for cover, a church deacon tackling the gunman and pulling the gun away. And the welcome news for drivers on a busy stretch of I-95 in Connecticut, that roadway reopened now in Norwalk. Crews working around the clock after a fiery crash last week brought things to a complete stop. And they are mad for Madonna in Brazil, the material girl breaking a new record for concert attendance with some 1.6 million people packing Copacabana Beach as she wraps up her celebration concert tour. This, of course, Madonna celebrating her incredible 40 years in the music business. She's got, of course, the versatility, the songwriting, the style, all of those skills. What an icon.
The energy, the looks, the smarts. We could keep going. A million people. That's a lot of people there.
That's a lot. But it's also Madonna.
It sure is. All right, Em, thank you very much.
Queen
we appreciate
pop.
It. When we come back, it's just 6 months until Election Day. What we are now learning about the tight race.
Plus, the big rap battle escalating. Our Monday morning quarterback breaking down the latest in the Drake Kendrick Lamar feud. We got more GMA3 in just a bit.
Nice.
Welcome back to GMA3. The presidential election is just 6 months away, and as we head into the home stretch, we have the results of a brand new ABC News Ipsos poll.
Yeah, here to break it all down for us is ABC political director Rick Klein. Always good to see you. I've seen you so much this morning, but it's always good having you around. So tell us what this new poll tells us about the race for president.
It is just about tied, as tight as you can imagine. This is the number among all adults in our poll, 46-44. And if you just looked at registered voters or likely voters, you'd actually see the opposite result. But here's what's really interesting, guys. If you add in the third party candidates, people like Bobby Kennedy and Jill Stein and Cornel West, you see the top of the ticket doesn't change that much. Still a slight lead for Trump. 12% for Bobby Kennedy Jr., though. That's a big number. We'll see if he's able to maintain it. And at least so far, it looks like more of those people are Trump voters than Biden voters. Right now, at least, it looks like the third party candidates hurting Trump a little more than Biden.
That's very interesting. I'm also curious who Americans trust to handle the big issues, because there's so much going on in the world right now.
Yeah, well, the short answer is neither. You see, there's a big numbers on that column. A lot of people don't trust either of the major party candidates. But to the extent that they favor one or the other, the big issues that people are motivated by, inflation, crime and safety, protecting democracy, immigration's up there too, those are all Trump issues. And the only areas that you see any edge for Biden are areas like healthcare and access to abortion. So that really marks a big difference. And that tells you, wow, under normal circumstances, that might be a blowout. Because if one candidate has the favorability on all the big issues, how is the other person even close?
And speaking of being trustworthy and honest, what about personal attributes?
Well, that's just it. That's what keeps Joe Biden in this matchup, because he is viewed as more honest and trustworthy by 16 points. Now, remember, a lot of people don't trust either of them, but that honesty question is a real one. Mental sharpness, Trump is just swamping Biden in that attribute. A lot of skepticism about whether he's mentally sharp to be enough to be president. And this is an interesting one. Understands problems of people like me. Biden has a 1-point edge. Now, that's your kind of classic who's with me, who's on my side type of question. That is Joe Biden. That is his whole political identity. And if he's not able to carry that and carry that into votes, I don't see how he wins this fall.
Well, President Biden is the current president. I'm curious how people feel about him. What's his approval rating looking like right now?
It is horrible, in a word. Like 35% approval rating. We've never seen a president at this stage of his presidency with that kind of approval rating, that low, and then go on to win re-election. Then again, we've never seen a matchup of a current president and a former president in modern times. But that is a tough number. And I'll tell you, Biden folks are kind of resigned to the fact that it's not going to jump around that much. People are down on this matchup. They're down on this year. And they just don't feel like President Biden is providing the kind of leadership they want. Now, the key for Biden, of course, is going to make this not just a referendum on him, but a choice between the two, because if that's a referendum, that's not good.
Mm. And speaking of the former president, you know, we are in an election year and he's on trial in Lower Manhattan. So how can a conviction impact his support?
Yeah, look, if you want to know why this trial in New York matters, here's a very big reason. This is just among Trump supporters in our poll. 80% say they continue to support him if he's convicted, but 20%, 1 in 5, say they might reconsider that or drop support entirely if he's convicted of a crime. Now, that may be a hard thing to believe when you know all these strong Trump supporters, but it doesn't take 20% of Trump voters to change their minds to make a difference when you're in an election this close. If just a few people decide, you know what, a convicted criminal is not what I want, you really can't imagine higher stakes for this trial, which could easily be the only one that gets the trial before the election.
Yeah, but his support seems to not waver.
Yeah, not among his base, but that's not how you win an election, right? You need people in the middle. You need independents. You need moderates. You need people that might actually dislike both of these candidates. Who do you dislike the least when you vote? And things like a criminal conviction could actually make a difference.
All right, Rick, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Always good to see you.
Thank you, guys.
Coming up next year on GMA3, the music world rap beef escalating.
Our Monday morning quarterback on the weekend developments in that back and forth diss track situation with Drake and Kendrick Lamar. We're back in just a bit.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome back to GMA3. It is Monday, and you know what that means. It's time for another round of Monday Morning Quarterback. And today, well, there is a lot to unpack in the Drake and Kendrick Lamar feud.
A lot to unpack here. The two legendary rappers going at it all weekend, each making some very wild accusations about the other. And here to break it all down for us is our Monday Morning QB himself, Mike Muse. Good to see you, man.
What's up, everybody?
We're doing okay, but why are these brothers at each other's throats?
I need some coffee to explain this. I've been up all weekend just going at each other. What we're seeing right now is two of the greatest MCs of this current generation, this current era, really going at each other. There's always been this subliminal shots that they've taken at each other because it's really all about competition. At the end of the day, hip hop and rap is about competition. Who has more dominance on lyricism, beats, who can move the crowd, who can sell the most, who can download the most. And at the pinnacle, it's always been Drake, it's always been Kendrick, and it's also too been J. Cole, but he's removed himself from this beef right now. But it's always been those top two at the top of the hip hop mountain of this current generation.
J. Cole is like, I'm going to step out for a second.
Yeah. Because, you know, feud or no feud, it's gotten a little personal. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that. What specifically about this feud has amped it up to this level?
We have never seen in a rap battle the frequency of diss tracks come out so quickly and also, too, so strategically in what they are doing. Over the weekend, Kendrick Lamar ramped up his beef by, within 36 hours, dropping 3 diss records aimed at Drake. So we saw him come with 616 in L.A. Then we saw Drake respond with Family Matters. 30 minutes after Drake responds with Family Matters, Kendrick drops Meet the Grams.
He had one in the tank.
One in the tank ready for him, followed by Not Like Us. And then that was all by Saturday evening,
I know,
by, let's say, 7 p.m.
TikTok was losing its mind.
Drake last night responded with The Heart Part 6, but it didn't meet the hype and expectation that a lot of his fans were hoping for. And so what's interesting about this, even to Mark, when you really begin to peel these layers back, it comes down to psychological warfare. Was really, because it's all about the creativity of hip-hop. Hip-hop at its heart is creativity. It's how do I outperform? How do I create more metaphors? How do I create more alliterations?
I mean, it's all about the creativity, but some of these accusations are damning here.
They are, but if you even look at what's interesting about a line that Drake said, you know, he says, hey, why don't you make another song for the Swifties, really calling Kendrick Lamar very commercial. So you know what Kendrick did? He ended up creating 616 in L.A. and used Jack Antonoff, which is Taylor Swift's producer, in order to create that. Drake also, too, talked about how he's more popular in Los Angeles than Kendrick is. So what did Kendrick do for his song Not Like Us? He got L.A.'s most acclaimed producer, DJ Mustard, to produce Not Like Us, which is such the heart of L.A. culture, L.A. sound. And what people are saying is that Kendrick made a party song. And so what you saw over the weekend was people were dancing to it and vibing to it.
Creating their own matchups. I think they used, one of them used Tupac's Hit 'Em Up, you know, music.
They did. It was Kendrick who actually used that one. Mm. And when it comes to psychological warfare, they're going at it on both sides. Because what Kendrick did was he showed a picture of some items supposedly from Drake's home. But what Drake said was that he set Kendrick up intentionally and he fed him that information because he knew Kendrick would take the bait. He also, too, alleges that he leaked that Drake had another child, which is an 11-year-old daughter, because Kendrick's psychological warfare was saying he has moles in his camp who's feeding him information. But Drake said, oh no, Kendrick, I planned to that. I knew you would take the bait. And
I don't
you
even know
did.
What's real anymore. I literally don't even know what's real.
It's hard to tell now.
It's almost like intelligence assets, right? It's almost like the CIA flipping assets.
Do you think they really don't
assets.
Like each other?
Oh, they literally don't like each other. Like that.
This is
that,
not just a
that
show.
I could say unequivocally they do not like each other. But when I say what fans are excited about is that it is making Kendrick make music with such frequency that we're not used to him getting. Kendrick usually comes out once every 5 years, but to get this much music from Kendrick is amazing. Yeah. To get this much music from Drake is amazing. And they both are really in their season right
I
now.
I like it when it's all in fun, but I don't like the fact that they don't like each other. I think we
Yeah. But the good thing, this isn't gonna go outside of the songs and
Let's
the albums.
Hope so.
It's all gonna stay digital. These two have families, marriage, kids, family.
Well, we are all talking yeah. about it. Mike Muse, thank you so much.
More to go.
We'll see you next
Monday. Get some coffee, America.
Monday morning quarterback. Hopefully it's a chiller Monday morning. Just ahead here, Dr. Jen with the foods that can help you fight inflammation.
And later, the twin sisters writing a new chapter in the family history, buying this plantation right here in the South. We'll have more on it when we come back. Stay with us. We are back now with Dr. Jen, and there's a new study that suggests that consistent physical activity in middle-aged women is associated with improved health quality and older age.
I feel like he looked at me, slash us.
Let me tell you something. It's important to move. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to look. I was looking
women
at the wall,
of a
guys.
Certain age. I don't know. Middle age just doesn't sit
I think
well.
That was just, he was just getting back at my halfway there comment on his last birthday. But file this one, you guys, under it is never too late to start engaging in physical activity. Mm-hmm. This was a recent study published in PLOS Medicine, done in Australia, looked at women at middle life up to age 55 who engaged in moderate intensity exercise and then vigorous intensity exercise. They met the World Health Organization criteria for that, which is, by the way, 150 to 300 minutes a week of moderate intensity exercise, meaning you're breathing hard, but you can still talk through that exercise. And they found that even the women who didn't start this physical exercise or activity until around age 55 still had improvements
still
in
hope.
Kind of, yeah, a quality of life health questionnaire. Really, really one more piece of evidence that it is never too late.
I can't stop laughing at you.
Sorry, no, it's the way you looked at us.
I looked at the wall. I wasn't looking at you. No. I was like...
It was kind of a side eye. I agree with you. It really was. But listen, I think the bottom line here is if you're already engaging in exercise or if you've never done it, don't be intimidated. Mm-hmm. Recognize that even though you might not see the benefits externally right away, the benefits internally are happening and those will continue to reap rewards days, weeks, months, years down the road.
So just move.
We're back in a moment. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to GMA3. What you need to know, the dramatic drop for our Gio Benitez battling nerves and clouds, propelling more than 1,000 feet down from the spire of the Empire State Building, all for a good cause, helping the young people at Outward Bound step out of their comfort zones. And we are so glad that he is back on solid ground. Gio.
I was so nervous watching that this morning.
And then I heard him say that he had to pause on his way down for commercial breaks. I was like, oh, dear Jesus.
Pause?
No. Nope.
Yes.
No.
I don't
well
know.
Well done, Gio.
Filed
well done.
That one under not in the typical job description.
Right.
No.
So much of this job, right? Dr. Jen's back, and she's looking at a question that you have. Are there nutritional differences between fresh and smoked salmon? That's from Annette.
There are. I'm a big fan of both. Full disclosure, I love salmon. Great source of antioxidants, omega fatty acids, protein, healthy fat. The big difference when you talk about smoked salmon or lox versus, let's say, fresh or cooked salmon, you know, the salmon fillets that you can get, is the sodium content. Way, way higher when you're talking about smoked salmon or lox. There is some observational data in the medical literature that suggests that smoked foods, meats, even fish, can increase the risk of certain GI tract cancers like stomach cancer. But again, how much it's smoked, whether it's smoked in a cold manner or a hot manner, is obviously very variable, and it has to be offset with other behavioral things. So for the most part, overall, this is a healthy food. But if you have problems with your heart, your kidneys, or your blood pressure, you wanna watch the sodium.
Stay away from it.
Yep.
All right, your prescription for wellness.
In the category, again, of nutrition, some foods or an eating plan that you can engage in to kind of bring some more anti-inflammation into your habits. So number one, for breakfast, you can choose oatmeal. I love steel-cut oats with some berries, blueberries, raspberries. They're huge in antioxidants and therefore anti-inflammatory. For lunch, dark green salad, colorful veggies and beans. DeMarco, I feel like that's a good lunch for you, my friend.
Thank you, ma'am.
And then for dinner, sticking with the whole grains, veggies, and lean protein like fish, you're always going to do well. And that's good for everything, brain health, heart health, weight management, as well as inflammation.
Get it all in one. All right, Doc, thank you very much. And folks, we would love to hear from you. So hit us up on Instagram with all of your medical questions for Dr. Janet, ABC at GMA3.
Up next here on GMA3, the big purchase by twin sisters rewriting their family legacy in Louisiana.
And on this Money Monday, we are canceling some of the myths about prosperity that could be holding you back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. The Banner sisters are on a mission. The identical twins from Louisiana are the proud owners of a plantation home. Part of their mission to protect and preserve their community's history.
Yeah, talk about a lot of work here. They are now sharing their fight against industrial companies that they claim are polluting and compromising the health of the predominantly black local population. Also the site of the largest slave rebellion in U.S. history, by the way. And here's ABC's Faith Abube.
So the room that we are...
Twin sisters Joel and Joy Banner look at this historic house.
This house was built around 1793.
And they see more than just old real estate. Rather, walls that hold 200 years of history that cuts deep.
Freedom fighters would have come in through these doors.
Growing up, Joel and Joy's grandmother would tell the stories. How the 1811 slave revolt ignited right here on the Woodland Plantation. An estimated 500 slaves took up arms in the uprising, making it one of the largest slave revolts this country has ever seen. Two centuries later, the Banner sisters, Louisiana natives, are now the first black owners of the historic house and the four-acre plantation it sits on, right in the River Parishes, just 30 miles north of New Orleans.
I know that she is really proud.
U.S. troops and local militias stopped the rebellion.
They were executed and their heads were chopped off, placed on pikes along the river as a symbol of this is what happens to you when you fight for freedom.
The sisters, using their nonprofit, the Descendants Project, to try to preserve the history of this place and to protect the health of the people who live along the 85-mile stretch of land that sits on the banks of the Mississippi River, dubbed Cancer Alley. The area is surrounded by almost 200 industrial facilities from Baton Rouge to New Orleans, spewing emissions linked to cancer in the region. According to the EPA, those who live here are 95% more likely to get cancer compared to the rest of the nation. The EPA under President Biden called for the plants to reduce toxic emissions linked to cancer. Woodland Plantation is wedged inside the so-called chemical corridor.
The plantations provide three things that they need. Large access to land, access to water, as well as an accommodating political system.
Joe is referring to zoning laws that changed in Louisiana in the 1980s and 90s, changing residential lands into industrial sites. Just this year, Human Rights Watch said authorities have failed for decades to protect locals from industrial pollution and uphold federal safety standards, making it the largest concentration of fuel plants in the Western Hemisphere.
Hey, hey! Ho, ho! Greenville's got to go!
The Banner sisters are currently in the legal battle to stop Greenfield, Louisiana LLC, a massive grain facility proposed in their backyard, saying it would do more harm than good, with the addition of more truck and boat pollution from added traffic and industry in an already vulnerable region. But Chad Roussel, a TSA employee and volunteer firefighter who can trace his family's lineage in the area back several generations, welcomes the economic benefits the facility is expected to bring.
They have talked about giving the younger folks a fair chance that, you know, the older folks have gotten. Most of them have worked and retired from industry.
In a statement to ABC News, Greenfield says in part, the project will provide thousands of good-paying, environmentally sustainable jobs for local residents who have long sought such opportunity. Farmers can and should coexist with efforts to preserve and celebrate the rich history and cultural heritage of the West Bank.
But it's just like, I'm going to give you a job and you can just job away all of your problems.
Black people in the area fought for the Union Army during the Civil War, returned after being emancipated, and then pooled resources to buy the same lands where they once were enslaved.
That's why we have the Descendants Project, because we're still influenced by that fight.
Faith Abube, ABC News.
And we do want to point out the UN has called the health risks suffered by the predominantly black population in that area due to the proliferation of industrial plants, environmental racism, and the state of Louisiana. And the state's Department of Environmental Quality did not immediately return ABC News' request for statements. So many thanks to Faith for that report.
And just ahead here on GMA3, giving your finances a big boost on this Money Monday.
We love talking money, and the big screen return to the Planet of the Apes story. Star Freya Allen is back with more. Stay with us.
Welcome back, ladies. Listen up. If you want to feel more confident when it comes to your finances, mm-hmm. Our next guest has got you covered. After saving $100,000 at just 25 years old,
wow.
She quit her corporate job, launched a company to give women resources to better their money. Mm-hmm. And she is sharing it all of us in her book, Financial Feminist.
We're so glad she did, because she's helping everybody out. And joining us now is the New York Times bestselling author, founder, and CEO of her first 100K, Tori Dunlap, everybody.
Good to see you, my friend.
Got a lot of fans in here, and that's because you're smart, super smart, especially when it comes to money. So speaking of money, you want to change the way that we view money. Talk about finance fallacy. What is that?
Yeah, there's this misconception that money is just about your own choices, right? It's just about you making the right decisions. But really, that's about 20% of the equation. When it comes to personal finance, 20% is your personal choices, and 80% is racism, sexism, ableism, homophobia, $1 trillion student debt crisis, stagnating minimum wages, right? All of the rest of it. So
I feel exhausted.
I know, right? So I just think that we need to give ourselves grace when it comes to money. And my book and my work are really focused on that, which is like, how do we control the things we can control and then work to change everything else? Mm-hmm.
There's just all of these things that sort of though exist around money. Like, we were all told as kids, like, don't talk about money. That's not very
right,
nice.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the narratives I discuss in my book, which is like talking about money's taboo. And we've all felt this, right? Mm-hmm. We're statistically more likely to talk about any other uncomfortable topic before we'll talk about money. But we have to talk about money, or else we feel that cycle of shame when it comes to our debt, right? Or we don't know that somebody else is making 20% more, but they started 2 years after us, right? So the talking about money is taboo narrative keeps us underpaid and overworked. Another one of those narratives is, again, if you work hard, you'll be rich, right? And like we discussed before, it's more than that. It's not just about you making the right choice. It's about all of those other factors. And finally, my least favorite one is money can't buy you happiness. I'm sorry, it can.
I asked somebody else that, because it can buy me happiness.
It can buy safety and stability and choices. And for women and other marginalized people, like, money means options. And I want the ability to travel and to start a business and to donate to causes I believe in. And so I 100% believe that money can buy happiness.
We want
to
be smart like you. So give us the top three things, especially when it comes to being financially savvy.
Sure. So that first one is identifying what do you truly value and where do you want your money to go. We have an entire chapter on value-based spending. I always tell people you don't need to stop spending money, but you do need to stop spending money on the things you don't care about. So that three financial like value categories is where you want the majority of your money to go. So for me, it's travel, food out, and plants. I have like 50 plants in my house. I love them.
I was not expecting that.
They're my babies. Yeah, that's where my money goes. So that's the first thing. Second thing, automate everything you possibly can, including your savings. So set up an automatic transfer from your checking account to your savings account every time you get paid. Maybe that's a percentage or a dollar amount, but it takes the work out. You're paying yourself yourself first without you having to think about it. And that last one is financial self-care. We have an entire chapter in my book, Financial Feminist, dedicated to what I call the money date. Sitting down, designating a time to look at your money, to check off your goals, and to manage your money in a designated way so that it's not an afterthought when you don't have time anymore to look at it.
Do you think this is something like we all legitimately can do?
I think so. I think it's, you know, you control what you can control. And I'm someone who wants to acknowledge that there's a lot of things out there that unfortunately make you feel anxious and, you know, with all of that shame and fear about money. And I want to bring you to a place of joy and ease and support around money. I think people believe that we're either born with the good with money gene or we're born with the bad with money gene. Money is a skill, just like any other learned skill, right? If I try to learn a language, I'm going to be bad at it for a really long time. But only through practice do I get better. So it's not about being good with math. It's not being, you know, good with money or bad with money. You're learning. It's a learned skill.
It's a skill. You're so right about that. Mm-hmm. Or you can just create a spreadsheet.
Like stop making fun of me. Right, my spreadsheets.
As a spreadsheet at home.
Hey, spreadsheets are great.
Take some math out of it.
Totally. If it works for you, that's perfect.
All right, Tori, thank you very much. We appreciate it. And by the way, Tori's book, Financial Feminist, is now available everywhere that books are sold. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Just ahead, she stands out as one of the only humans on screen in the new Planet of the Apes movie.
And it's making its debut on Friday. We're going to talk to star Freya Allen all about it when we come back. Stay with us.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. The highly anticipated new film, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
And we've got one of the stars of the film, rather, to tell us all about it. Please welcome Freya Allen, everybody. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Absolutely amazing. And you say this is one of your proudest moments in your career. How so?
Well, I feel like every actor just wants to work with great creatives that have, you know, a clear vision. And I think it was mainly that in the audition process, which was making me want to be a part of it, was Wes Bull and Owen Teague. And getting to work with them and kind of accomplish this together is what makes me so proud.
What was that audition like?
It was crazy. It was very long. There were a lot of, you know, I think they had to go through a lot of people to try and find what they wanted. And started off with a self-tape and then a Zoom, and then I did a Zoom chemistry read with Owen, which is never ideal, but we kind of forgot that there was a screen between us and we instantly connected. And then they flew me out to Australia for less than 24 hours for a screen test and had me crawl in the bushes and do some scenes with Owen, and it was amazing. Yeah.
That's cool.
So obviously Planet of the Apes has a massive following from a few years ago, back in the day. Mm-hmm. Now Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is going to be introduced to a whole new audience. What was it like to kind of have to service those two populations?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like such an honor to be a part of, you know, it's film history. It's the first one was 1968. And you know, I remember when I got the audition through, my mum was just saying I needed to go and watch the original. And I feel like these movies, there's so much adventure, but there's also a real heart to them and like an emotional journey. And I feel like that's what, you know, is what keeps them going. That's what makes me interested by it.
I'm such a nerd. So you're May in the movie. You're one of the only humans. And every scene that we see, you're surrounded by apes. Mm-hmm. So what was that like, actually acting that out in real life?
Well, they went through ape school, so they really, you know, they became those apes. So I really didn't need to imagine that there were apes in front of me. That they had to wear some very unflattering suits, and they had dots all over their face and a camera sort of coming out of their head. But you kind of got used to that. But I had to basically shoot all the scenes. I'd do it with them, and then they'd be taken out, and I'd have to do a whole scene, you know, staring at some bush in the distance, pretending it was the actors, and remembering all the eye lines, and I remember I had to hug the air, and I felt like a real loser. You know, my character looks cool, but
we've all been there.
If you actually see the behind the scenes, I look like an idiot a lot of the time. But that was the difficulty, was having to, you know, talk to thin air.
So what was one of the biggest challenges for you in making this film?
I think that was it, mm-hmm. honestly. Like, you know, I've done stuff in the past of having to engage with things that aren't there, but it's usually more in, you know, I'm fighting. I'm never having to do a whole conversation where I've got no one's eyes to look into. And scenes are all about working with your scene partner, and when you've got no one in front of you, it's kind of an actor's hell.
Yeah, because you have no energy to sort of pull or push from.
Yeah, and you've also got to technically remember all the marks, and you're working, the camera is also trying to remember the exact shot that we did. So it was a very interesting process.
And you did it well.
Yeah. Well done.
Hopefully.
Well, thank you so much for being here with us. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is out this Friday.
Mm-hmm. And that is what you need to know. I'm DeMarco Morgan.
I'm Eva Pilgrim.
And I'm Dr. Jen Ashton.
For all of us here at ABC News, make it a great one.
Bravo, Freya.
Disappear without a trace.
Where is she?
The most notorious murder cases in New York.
Pure evil.
And the most devious killers.
There's a Hannibal Lecter feel to him.
For chilling true crime stories, follow the True Crime NYC podcast wherever you listen.